welcome to the Mac Show. Yeah, we discuss all of the Mac news that there is and isn't a little bit, and we'll try and make some if there isn't some. But joining me to talk about all of the Mac news, we've got a stellar panel. We've got a very special episode this week because Maria's here, and Maria is sitting in front of the logo, so you can't tell what she is, honest. She's hiding it. Joining me, top left, it's Doc. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing absolutely asleep, but I'll be there in like 2 minutes. It's coming. It's getting there.
Don't you love the way that Skype leaves all the controls up and think that's exactly what you want?
Yeah. Isn't it awesome?
Oh, it's just superb.
Yeah, the only thing it's missing is Clippy.
Clippy would be good. Hey, your connection's bad.
Yeah. What have you been up to, mate? I haven't seen you for 2 weeks.
Keeping busy, making a lot of stuff in the shop. And I think as of today, we might get back on lockdown.
Back on lockdown? Oh, no.
Yeah, because Americans are hard-headed and selfish, in case you haven't known. Look at Jeff.
Really?
I mean, I can't argue with this.
I can't say anything because this network wouldn't exist without Americans, so.
Yeah, but it's just, anyway, so because of that, we're about to get sent back. They said, everybody, it's okay, you can go to the beach, but you have to stay separated. And you tell a bunch of people that live in Hawaii that have been locked down for a month and a half that it's okay to go to the beach, but you have to stay separated. And yeah, no, that doesn't work, because it's like, oh, summertime beach, graduation parties, let's go. And then all of a sudden we hit triple digits like 2 weeks later on the button.
Bad luck. Statistically speaking, of course, we are. It's harder to get a British tech pundit on this show. There's one versus two female tech pundits. We've got two. So next to him is ace host Jeff. How's it going, Jeff?
It's going great. And
I've checked and we're streaming.
I'm surprised you still have a network after last week.
Oh, dude. Oh, that was priceless. That took me back to the time that Steve Naber decided to host it, and he was worried about his mic because someone said his mic was a bit hot and it was clipping. So he put toilet paper on the mic to try and stop.
Oh, no.
And I've still got the video somewhere of Steve hosting it with a piece of toilet paper on the top of his Blue Yeti.
Oh, that's fantastic. I've never thought of using toilet paper. I should just keep a roll in my office now.
Oh, mate. Quality episodes. Yours will be a classic. It's right up there with the CES toys.
You know, I'm glad that I'm able to create these special moments for you, Ewan.
Now, did you notice that you got special mentions in the BTN history film?
I watched the history film and it was awesome.
How good a job was Wrighty done on that, man?
Oh my God, it was just epic.
Friggin' awesome. We're going to post it on the feeds probably after this weekend, but Wrighty has trolled back through all of the shows and got the best bits. And I look like I'm about 10 on the first one.
Yeah.
And it's only been 12 years. Christ, I've aged in 12 years.
Yeah, that's our fault. Sorry about that.
I'm aging at the same rate as the bloke who drunk out of the wrong cup in Raiders of the Lost Ark, it feels like. Bloody hell, I'm old.
Mate, about 10 years or 10 stone?
Oh, I've lost weight since I know, maybe I've put a bit on and I've lost a bit again. So I'm about the same weight as I was then. So.
I think it was Temple of Doom, wasn't it?
Was it the Temple of Doom? No, it wasn't the Lost Ark. Was it the Temple of Doom? Temple of Doom was the one with the Indian thing, wasn't it?
Yep.
Krishna and all that.
Last Crusade.
Thank you,
Last
Alistair.
Last Crusade, yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Alistair, head of continuity and accuracy. Not something this network's
given enough,
ever big
given
on.
Given enough time, yeah.
I have just said, actually, if you say in there's background noise and you can hear a little bit of noise in the background, it's because there's fans going in here and it's really hot. And if you'd like to write a letter of complaint, be sure to send it to the Westboro Baptist Church and sign up for their newsletter at the same time. next, Patrice.
Hi.
Also, with all the Skype controls showing. Fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know how it happens, but...
My God. How you doing, mate? Are you back on the MacBook?
I'm back on the MacBook, but if I disappear, like without the trace, then the machine crashed again.
Okay.
So it's just, it's still crashing. Like sometimes I can do like half days, full days on meetings and everything's fine, and then it crashes like three times in a row.
Are you going to attempt to procure it from the company and send it over for IMN Maxifix?
I'm going to try that, yes.
That would be awesome. That would be such a good video to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely going to try. Let's see what they say. I mean, it will depend on how much they still want for it.
Yeah, no, cool.
Whether it's worth it or not.
Are you well?
But yeah, doing okay. Like, a bit of a week because I'm kind of doing job for, like, three people who are on vacation right now. So, yeah, it has been a bit stressful week. I literally worked, like, till, like, 15 minutes ago. And I'm probably going to go back to work when we're done.
But Friday's the only day you don't get out your PJs, isn't it?
Well, I'm wearing a dress, so I don't know about you.
I'm game, I'll try it. Next to him, Alistair.
Hello.
Mate, super sub off the bench.
Yeah, I've never been on the Mac show before.
I know, we're looking forward to your opinions, mate, because the pithy wit and repartee that you normally give to the big show would be perfectly suited here to balance the fanboys.
Okay, enough of that sarcasm, thank you very much. I did used to work on a Mac magazine quite a few years ago.
Oh, really?
At the turn of the century, I worked on Mac User when it still existed in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Well played, mate.
I was one of the associate editors on that. Well, I've spent the week trying to recover from 2 weeks of doing constant training for Google. And this thing popped through the letterbox. It's probably back to front, isn't it? But
no, it's fine.
It's the... It's the IEEE, so IEEE, the organisation. It's their regular monthly magazine. And they've got this nice little feature came from last month about how we'll be able to power our mobile and wearable devices from our sweat when we go running. And I was thinking, so how's Prince Andrew going to charge his iPod? I've no idea. Otherwise, I was going to look for that because I give off quite a lot.
There was a question the other night in the BTN quiz about ascension to the throne and who was in line to go on. And someone said Prince Andrew. I said, not until they kill Ghislaine Maxwell.
It was the private eye joke. Is who's next in line? Well, it was Jeffrey first.
And last but by no means least, a lady who is making her debut on the Mac show, and it will probably be her last appearance based on the way we normally do with special guests.
No.
You're welcome every week, Maria.
Hey, guys.
Maria from Setup. Now, you're here to join in the conversations about the news and that kind of stuff, but then you're going to tell us some special stuff about Setup, aren't you?
Sure, absolutely.
Keep it secret. Keep it secret. The thing is as well, we are big on Setup. There is hands up here who is not a Setup subscriber and has a Mac. Just Alistair. There you go. See, we love Setup.
Hell, Alistair.
You do realise, Maria, that at the end of this, you're just going to walk away with a list of apps that we want you to go and get onto Setup.
Awesome. I mean, like, that would be awesome.
So let's start with SoundSource on Rogue Amoeba, because that's been upgraded this week, and I've only got four and now five's out. So please, have a word with Rogue Amoeba.
Fantastic, you win.
Working on it.
Man. Oh, man. This is the entire show for me. It's just us saying, please get that on Setup.
Well, I mean, it's not... like it's kind of like every other show where we basically talk about an app, and then we're like, oh, and it's on Setup.
We do that, actually. There's a lot of people come on with a pick, and then someone else mentions it's on Setup, and the person who's picked it has bought it. and they've got Setup. Oh, the fun we have with that. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. Right, let's start with some good news. There's good news and bad news, right? So the good news is OWC have come out with a set of wheels for your Mac Pro. Hey.
How much is it?
I saw that, yeah.
And the good news is... they're half the price of Apple's wheels.
Yeah, it's only about $250, is it, for the set?
$200. The bad news is that they're $200. But the good news is that when you find the person in China that's manufacturing, they'll cost you $35 off Banggood. So,
I mean, the other question is, do they have brakes? Because Apple's don't.
Who stores their MacBook on a hill?
Good question.
The fool.
Unless I can understand if you've got like a meat thing where you've got like a sloping thing to a drain because you want all the stuff to drain, but I don't see a Mac Pro being in that environment myself.
Could be like one of those really posh supermarket trolleys that, no, not supermarket trolleys, the ones you get at airports that, you know, unless you hold a funny little lever down, it won't move at all.
And then you say, pedal. Apple, your bloody Mac, when I push it, it won't run straight. Oh, no, you're pushing it wrong.
Yeah, put a couple of kids on the top and then it'll go.
Yeah, you can have your MacBook as long as you put a pound coin in the top and pull the thing out because you've got to link them all together afterwards in the supermarket. And the other good story, I thought this shook my world, absolutely shook my world, that in Big Sur, dark mode is darker. Yeah, all those people that said, I want to be in dark mode, but I feel cheated because it's actually slightly less light mode.
See, yeah. Apple is slowly working towards it can be none more black.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, they're just going to like put a black screen up and say it's the ultimate dark mode.
Apple, 255, 255, 251, that's white. 000, that's black. There isn't anything else in between. You're fine. You can do it. Just keep trying, man. Keep trying. Right, the first proper news then. The first story I thought we could talk about, and I found this quite interesting because Apple have kind of got the idea of ubiquity with getting Apple TV Plus out in a lot of other formats and on smart TVs and that kind of thing. Netflix, very, very wide out there on smart TVs and that kind of stuff. Microsoft's xCloud and Xbox Game Pass is not going to come to iOS due to Apple's restrictions. And I just wonder is that worth a conversation about whether Apple should make sure that it is? And B, is it just a technicality and it'll get worked out? And then C, you know, do tech companies need to grow up about the fact that there is a certain style of service that does need a ubiquity that sends it everywhere? Or we could just have silence. I don't mind.
No, that one requires a little bit of thought.
It's early for you, Doc. I totally get that. That's fine. You're exempt.
Why?
Because it's early for you. So the thought takes a bit longer.
Yeah, absolutely.
5 a.m., man.
Absolutely. Well, to address the first portion of it, wait, let me get rid of my Jeff mod. To address the first portion of it, yes and no. I mean, you know, Apple's thing is always a cross between user experience and security. And there's other people that will be like, we're secure, but that last little bit we don't want to do. And Apple's like, no, we have to do that. That's what we promise. That's what we're going to stick to. And then the other people will lose their minds over. They want, you know, they want in on the Apple situation, but they don't want to do it 100%. And then that starts to fight. And then I think once that happens, it becomes a grudge match. And everyone's just holding on for who's going to give in first. The other thing is, with the latest history of like Mixer and other things, you know, sort of Xbox and Microsoft service related, Apple just wait it out because it'll be dead in a month anyway.
You really?
I'm just saying. Dude, Mixer, everybody was like, oh, this is going to be good. It's going to be a Twitch rival and a YouTube rival. And it lasted a year.
Yeah, but I think Xbox has got a bit more traction, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Bit more Mixer is Xbox. That was the stream from your Xbox directly to like a Twitch-oriented type thing.
No, but the Game Pass element where you're then talking about transference of information across to iOS devices and picking up games potentially then. And then creation of games on iOS that will merge across. Because they've got no phone platform anymore. They can't do it with Windows anymore, which they did before.
Right, right.
So they've got to get to iOS somehow. Otherwise, that service has disappeared entirely.
Yeah, that's a tough one again. Because there's games that I want to play on my console. And there's games that I want to play on the device. And most of what I want to play on a device is on a device. So it will be... I mean, there's a handful of stuff that's, you know, because of their agreements with Microsoft or whatever that you're not going to see on the device, but it's not a game changer. And I will say Arcade sucks, by the way. I liked it for a minute, but I'm over
it. Arcade is awful. I mean, I unsubscribed from it about 4 months in. Mm-hmm. It was just horrific. Yeah. Badly done. And just things like the lack of just the you know, the kind of the bread and butter games, like the sports simulations, right. The platform mm-hmm. games that were, you know, Pac-Man-esque kind of stuff that anyone could play. That was all missing. You'd got something, you know, they brought out a hockey game, and I'm like, oh, yes. And then it's just like, no, there's power-ups, and if you skid into someone, it's so fast I can't watch it because I'm 53. And it's just, no, I don't want that. I want.
Yeah, it seemed like the arcade implementation was basically games that show off the hardware, not games that were necessarily any good.
Now then, here's the first loaded question of the day for Maria. Maria, is SetApp going to do any games? Because that would be cool.
Well, at the moment,
do I need to sign an NDA
no,
before you answer?
We don't know what's going to happen in the future.
I was going to say, do I need to sign an NDA before you give me an answer?
Perfect answer.
So at the moment, we do productivity tools with the software, not games. And it's just, you know, due to this thing that when you get software, you use software for years. Like, you stick to the app and you keep on using app. Games, this is something you play and you end the game, you pass the game, and then you move on with another game. So set up monetization system for developers, build a way that they're getting recurring revenue all the time. So for games, the whole revenue share should be different. So it's going to be, if setup will be in the game industry, in the game space, it will be probably a different product.
And plus also, it's a different revenue stream, isn't it? So you buy SetApp for the productivity and then SetApp for games and then SetApp for movies or SetApp for... I'm giving you ideas here. Sorry, I shouldn't really... I'll tell you where to send the check later.
Yeah, but I mean, she's right. I mean, I think that's the problem with arcade. That, like, I mean, you need a constant stream of content because most games you finish and then you're done. And I mean, yeah, you might replay it because, I don't know, you want to do it again, but usually you're done. Like, there's no...
Or you hit a dumb level that you can't get past.
Or that, yeah. And I mean, there are some exceptions, like platform games, like those massive multiplayer online roleplay games, where, like, they're infinite and their subscription might make sense, but, like, yeah, they usually already have subscriptions, and like Apple didn't get them.
There's a group of listeners who are going to not get this at all. But yeah, I remember loading up games on my ZX Spectrum where you flew through the trees, and it was like the I loved it. It was a great game. You had to dodge the trees, and it was like the section from Return of the Jedi where they're in the forest, in the Ewok forest and stuff. And I loved that game, but it was just like there was a set number of levels and it was really hard, solid graphics. And then you look at now at people saying, yeah, this is an unending game. And Ellis tried to get me into one the other week and I can't remember what it was. It was free on Xbox and it was just go anywhere. You went and you mined stuff and you crafted stuff and then you transport things. And then it was this infinite universe of opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Fortnite?
No. This was a space game. But it was just like, and you sit and think, you're talking about going from a game that's got 15 levels that takes up the entire programming space on my ZX Spectrum and it's only straight line graphics, you know, little one line that I'm trying to dodge, up to the point that you've got unlimited worlds now on Xbox, and then you're talking about unlimited worlds potentially on a handheld device like an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. That's where you sit back, and if you actually bother to think about, you know, what a marvelous age we live in. All right,
yeah,
then.
Absolutely.
Kill that conversation. Sorry.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is marvelous. But those are the kinds of games you need if you want to have a subscription. Like that, or you need a massive amount of like a constant stream of new games, because otherwise people just, like you and me, they just stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, even on Xbox, a couple of months ago, I want to say it's almost been a year, but it's not been quite a year. They did a thing where you could get like 3 years for like $14 or something. And I bought it. And since that time, maybe like two games have come out on the Game Pass that were really worth the download. Everything else has been like, install it, play for it a little bit, erase it. Install it, erase it, install it, erase it. So even them, who has a humongous catalog and has been doing this for, you know, ever, the constant streams of really good quality games is very difficult to pull off, I would say. And I'm not going to complain about, you know, getting 3 years of Game Pass for basically $14 or a dollar. It was something really dumb. I forget what it was, but I did it. And like, so my Game Pass ends in like 2023. And yeah, there really hasn't been anything that was like, yo, slam the brakes. I can't believe I missed this for the many years.
Oh, no, I think Game Pass is quite clever because it's a drug sale. It's no, it is. So I've got a game that I play called Hunter Call of the Wild, and I got a notification the other day that it was ending on Game Pass. And it's like, oh, no, I love playing that game. Damn, I hate, am I going to buy it? It's only $40.99. Yeah, stuff it, I'll buy it. But they could do that with other games that are more expensive, and then you just kind of, I bet there's a lot of sales come from that Tuck It and See application. Definitely. There is a new iMac. The 2020.
Blimey, we stopped talking about games. Good. Okay.
Alistair, you can't come on here and start. You can't be editor, mate. Sorry. No.
I knew I'd be out of my depth.
Yeah, you can't be editor. You can't come on and be editor, mate. I know it's not your thing. Just. It wasn't
when I used to
thing,
write about Apple, it was the days when there used to be a computer company rather than a manufacturer of overpriced wheels. I'm a bit behind here.
Okay, so we're going to get letters from the fanboys then. That's cool. 2020 27-inch iMac, great machine for working from home, Core i5 processor, and the benchmark tests for it, I did have a benchmark test, there we go, show it as pretty respectable, actually. Not bad at all. Definite improvement on the previous i5, but nowhere near the i9, which you'd expect.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the price. if you pay for the i9, you will get more performance. But still the 10, I mean, it has a 1080p camera, but 1080p.
Well, 1080 is enough for a front-facing camera, though, isn't it?
I mean, nowadays I would say, like, I mean, why not put, like, especially on the iMac where there is much more than enough space and it probably costs Apple, whatever, 10 cents more to do a 4K camera. Why not put a 4K
camera? Yeah, but only the narcissists want a 4K camera.
No, I tell you why. And see, Patrice, you know me well enough to know that basically 3 months ago, I would have been right there with you. But as a person who streams like constantly now, no, and I'll tell you why. The primary services still want you to stream in 720. And it irritates me because YouTube says you can stream in 4K, I stream in 4K. And what happens is the amount of variables between your computer, the RTMP servers, and the final landing platform, everything goes haywire, right? Because the streams can't handle. And so they start like flopping servers or switching or pull a server in the middle and switch and all this other stuff. And because I've done this forever, like all the way back since Ustream and Justin TV, I know that there's many variables and what goes wrong. But in my group of the software that I use, everyone and their mother, what's wrong with XYZ software today? It's not working. All the stream's broken because it can't do this and it can't do that. And all they do is field calls and have to explain to people that we're the lowest part of this totem pole. We literally take what you put on the screen, compress it, and send it to the RTMP stream. The problems that you are having are with Restream, are with Facebook, are with YouTube, are with Skype, you know, Zoom, XYZ. But every single person comes into the forum and complains about XYZ software. So if Apple put the 4K camera and the stream like Facebook only wants you to take 720, and of course right now pandemic, even what's that red one? YouTube only wants crunch. You to take 720. Everybody will call Apple and blame them. So well, it's not worth it, bro.
Yeah, true.
Honestly, I mean, I disagree with that. I mean, it's not just for streaming. And I mean, it's a $2,000 machine. And it's probably for most people going to last like whatever 5 years. And I would say in 2020, you can put in a camera, even if the few people who actually want to stream to Facebook or to YouTube, and that actually use the Mac camera, because I mean, a lot of people probably don't. Even if they, like, if that is only 720 today, that might be different in a year or two.
Yeah, but the balance, it's the balance of crunch though, mate. That's the trouble. So I've got a Canon HD10 up here, which is a crappy little 1080p camera. It's fine. It produces a 1080i out feed that goes into a Blackmagic box. the shuttle, and then it comes in here, and then it's got to take it from 1080i and it's got to turn it into 720p. So my CPU is constantly running at around 90% when we do the shows. But if I turn the camera down so that the output's down to 720, it's got to come out at 720i, which, you know, interlaced is bloody awful at 720. This box here is still going to only receive it at 720i, and this thing here is going to push it out at 720. But by the time you've actually done that, you're like, okay, the CPU's down at 40% when it does that, but the picture looks like crap. It looks like a Roman tile mosaic. It's awful. Yeah. It's truly awful. So I'm happy to give up the CPU speed to get that thing. So Doc's right, you know, but then when you're going from 4K to 720 on the fly with a stream, that is going to fall over with an i5.
But
how many of you guys know that I've been streaming to you in 4K for 3.5 years?
It doesn't.
You always look good, but you look gorgeous anyway, Doc.
Like, I mean, it can capture it in 1080p if needed, but the camera could still be capable of 4K if someone actually.
I get that, but most people also don't realize that, and of course, our lot will get it, but I'm saying the general population doesn't realize that when you go from 1080 to 4K, you're adding one pixel here and then three more pixels here. So it's not a simple double, like it's a 3x, you know, quadruple. So your disk space and a bunch of things going in. So, I mean, I'm the camera guy. Like, I understand why, and I would say that. But also on the market right now, the Logitech Brio is about the only 4K webcam running. So you want the iMac to be the second webcam running?
I'm just saying for a premium product, in 2020, I would have expected more.
It's not a premium product. It's the entry-level $1,800 or £1,800 computer.
That's in a lot of people's, opinions.
You look at the bench
product. $1,800 is not, like, the cheap.
No, it's not cheap, but if you look at where it sits in terms of the generation, the power that it's got as a computer, the benchmark test and what it actually does, it's not horrifically priced compared to others. Yeah, all right.
Absolutely.
If you say I can make my own PC for less, yes, you can, but you know, buying a PC off the shelf, you probably wouldn't get an awful lot more for $200 less.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is there is this thing where... you know, they have focus groups, right? They do make some A9 decisions every once in a while, but for the most part, their focus groups are on point. And many of the people, if you ask them, where are you going to do your FaceTime calls? They're going to be like, oh, on my phone or my iPad. You know, so the amount of people that are actually using that camera is, you know, a different, it's just a different number, and I'm sure they've checked it, and I'm sure they checked it out. From basically the T2 chip, a large portion of that camera is going to be unlocking and locking and, you know, various other security-oriented things like the iPhone, like basically Face ID. So, and if that's its primary purpose, or that's what they figured out through research, that that's what most people are going to use it for, then it's not worth it. The other thing is, I can tell you from going into many, many, many offices, most people's camera has one of these on it.
They don't take it off.
And it never comes off, right? I can tell you, in the last 5 computers, the small person that sits over there and yells at me to do the dishes all the time, that camera's been covered up since the 18 years we've been together. It has never come off. And I find it funny, but most people have it taped up. So I think it's that part of the system isn't the knock, and that's also easily replicable with $100. If you really want to do it that way, it's still replicable with $100. The other thing is, on the street, almost every single camera produced right now, like within the last couple of years, can take a USB cable and plug any standard vacation point and shoot camera via USB to the computer, especially Canon and Sony. So I think Apple's like, yeah, that's not our fish to fry right now. We got better stuff to do.
With varying degrees of benefit and results.
And what they'll do now is give all of the Patrices of the world something to throw in the silicon-based one that will come out in roughly 8 months to a year.
Mm-hmm. No,
Jeff, Ali, anything to add? Marie?
I think Apple have got, it's part of the big plan, and I think in a couple of months you'll see they'll start selling chrome plated camera covers
for them, right?
On wheels.
Excellent. Yeah, great. Yeah,
of course.
Jeff?
All right, so I have two things here. The first is Apple's not stupid. They pay very close attention to what their customers are using their computers for. And so if they're putting a 720p camera in an iMac today, there's probably a reason beyond cost that's going into that. And it's like Doc said, they've probably discovered that people are using their iPhones and their iPads primarily for video chatting, and and that most people are using the built-in camera just for streaming video, like a chat. Mm-hmm. So that being the case, even though it feels lame, it probably makes sense because it's probably the right camera to have just based on the research. Now, the other side for me is, and if my logic is wrong on this, I'm sure someone will let me know. I look at that camera the same way that I look at any other camera that I use. So why would I want to, like, if I'm using a DSLR, if my final output is JPEG, why would I not want to shoot in RAW anyhow? Why would I want to shoot in JPEG in the first place, knowing that's what the final output is? And the answer for me is I wouldn't want to shoot in JPEG. I want to shoot in RAW so that I have all the data that I can get and have the best, potentially the best possible quality image, and then downscale it to what the final output is going to be. And I look at the webcam that's built in the same way. Why would I not want to have the ability to capture at the highest possible resolution or quality, and then output at whatever my target is, but then also give me the ability to change how I'm capturing the content, just like I could do on a DSLR.
Said the man who's never shot 500 products in a day for a catalog.
Well, yes, there is that.
Because man, JPEGs you love. You spend an hour getting the right exposure and going back and forth from the camera to the computer. And once you've got the setting right, then it's pachump, 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 pachump. And then you just put them on a disc and send them. That's it. Well, put them on a disc. God, that was going back to the 90s.
Old.
Old school. Marie, anything to add? Have you got anything to add?
Hello?
Hello, Maria. Have you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I'm actually not into shooting much of the videos. So, I mean, like, if my mom was here, she's doing lots of, she actually started her vlogging channel, and she's very into editing videos, and she has a professional camera and all this stuff. I mean, if she would be here during this conversation, I think that she would have more things to add in regards to that.
Bring her along next week. She can
okay.
No, because we've got Auntie Pamela on the Mac on the big show, who's Howard's auntie. We could have Maria's mum on the Mac show. That works. Total alliteration. I love that.
I was going to say a good alliteration.
I love that. Maria's mum on the Mac show. There's the title. Now, interesting. You're all talking about the fact that you know, the kids today are using their iPhone and that, and they're not using the Mac. Comment from Muller, the 60-year-old in the chat room, I never use my Mac's camera. And I've got to say, the only time I ever use my Mac's camera is when I'm doing the quiz on a Wednesday night. Because every time I do a Zoom call from the studio, I use the HD10, I use the proper camera. So, I think there's a good point there. You know, it's not being used, and actually most people would forget to change the quality and then just complain about the fact that it wouldn't stream. As Doc said, I think there is a value to that. Apple celebrates the 10th anniversary of the App Store with some balloons. I've got to say, since day one, well, no, actually, day one, it was really kind of useful because there was only about 100 apps in there. But after that, it just became the most undiscoverable piece of tat that there's ever been from Apple. I can't find any. You can type in now in the search the name of the app, the exact name of the app that you want, and it doesn't appear on the first page.
So Ewan, I totally agree with your rant, but it's not the App Store. It's the Apple Store app.
Oh, I've read the wrong thing.
But you're right about the balloons.
Yeah, sorry. See this, man. Everyone's going to write in and go, you're not a tech journalist. I never was.
Is that Apple is doing Easter eggs again.
Really? What are they doing? Thanks for saying. See, that's why you're a good host, Jeff, because you saved
they're doing
me.
An Easter egg. For years, Apple's policy was no Easter eggs in any of our products.
And they,
but they put one into the Apple Store app. So to me, that's the big news here.
What have they put in?
The balloons.
The balloon, that's it. A one and a zero.
I mean, it's a stupid Easter egg.
The binary Easter egg, a one and zero.
So how do you get that Easter egg?
Go into the Apple Store app on your iPhone or iPad, and then search for 10 years, the number 10 and the word years.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. And everyone's now stopped driving, pulled over in their car, and is now doing this.
That's right. Because all of our listeners
I love the Easter
all
eggs.
All four of them.
I think the golden age of Easter eggs is gone. I mean, that was definitely last century.
And if it's not, the one and zero balloon has stabbed it in the heart. Good God. Alistair, you won't sleep tonight now until you've done that, will you?
I think my iPad's downstairs. I'll have to try it later.
It doesn't work.
I feel kind of bad that I corrected you because really enjoying your rant.
No, that's the best thing about dyslexia, mate, is I can talk for ages about the subject that no one else is talking about because it's written. It's fantastic, mate. That's been my life. If you want to write a letter complaint, again, Westboro Baptist, info@westborobaptist.com, and be sure to sign up to the newsletter. And the last story.
Do you know, if I can just interrupt there. If you're talking anniversaries, we did miss last month the 30th anniversary of Photoshop. And I know it's on lots of platforms, but it was on Mac first properly anyway. And that has some of the strangest Easter eggs. I don't know if you've ever tried those.
No, go on, give us a few.
Well, I can't demonstrate them, but I can describe them. Since it ties in what you're talking about, dark mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And Adobe was one of the first to really throw themselves into dark mode. At first they gave you lots of sliders, and then they decided they didn't like to give people too much control. So now you can only choose from four different levels between pale gray and dark gray. And in Photoshop, if you hold down a certain number of keys, the little squares from dark gray to pale gray turn into slices of toast. So the pale one is just a slice of bread, and of course the very dark mode is burnt toast.
Oh.
And if you do it again, it turns into coffee. So you either have white coffee or dark coffee. And you think, bless, that's really nice.
You see, that's worth a Creative Cloud subscription right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, not just a couple of balloons, you know? I mean, nothing compares with the old Quark Alien, but still, I think they made a little bit more of an effort there.
So Doug's just held at the phone, and it said 01.
Yeah, it says 1 year.
It doesn't say 10.
No, actually, no, it's you can flick the balloons around. I was just trying to bother Jeff.
Very good. So Apple have a shot on my iPhone film by Damien Chazelle, which is called Vertical. And it's a guy who falls off it's called a stuntman. I'll turn it down a bit. There we go. The whole thing is shot on an iPhone, and the green screen effect is extremely good if it is. And it's all shot vertically. The stunt double. Guy runs to the edge of the building, and I love the fact that the clapperboard was on the side. That was kind of cool. I laughed at that. But then the whole thing shot in vertical. There you go. Vertical video. And
it's a shame he hadn't shot the whole thing on a 27-inch iMac. That would have been more amusing.
It would, absolutely, in 4K. Or spoof 4K. But the whole thing is in vertical. And there's a few people have raved about this, but I'm just like, it's crap. It's like all vertical video. I'm surprised that YouTube haven't got a vertical video player yet.
I hope hate vertical never video. Get there. But the way that they framed everything here, where they pandered to the orientation that they were using, I think it works, but Yeah, I'm not raving about the video.
No.
I am anti-vertical video, has always been anti-vertical video.
I do a networking group, and I've done a lot of Zoom calls in the last 3 months, and people that sit there with their phone and they're vertical, you just want to go, turn it sideways. I'm typing in the chat, turn it sideways. Turn it sideways. Stop. I'll turn it sideways or I'm leaving. I can't do it.
Well, I say for years I've had people assuring me that the new format will be square, thanks to Instagram, of course, but that's not really happened, has it?
No, it should be 4:3, of course, the golden ratio of video. Okay, Knight Rider in 4:3.
Oh, good times.
You know what messed everybody up when we switched?
Maria's not old enough for Knight Rider.
The pan and scan mistakes that would come out when things switched from 4:3 to everybody, okay, let's just force the whole planet back to 16:9. Guys who have been used to cheating in pan and scan, you would always find like prop gear like on the edges of the picture in the random corners. Like Pee Wee Herman putting a chain in the bucket and you can see the bucket and it's supposed to be the never ending chain when he's pulling it. And there's the paint bucket in the corner where the chain's coming out. And it's super funny. But there was, in the beginning, there were so many mistakes and you could always find it in the fringes.
Yeah. The, 4:3, there was a thing as well that, I think it was when BBC first came on BBC America, they were sending over all the old shows in 4:3, but then the screen was being cropped to 16:9. So what they were doing was showing people who had a 4:3 TV in the States, because no one had got 16:9 TVs, were watching a 4:3 TV with a 16:9 letterbox with a 4:3 image in the center. That was for a few years.
Yeah.
I remember sitting watching Top Gear at my cousin's house in Detroit, and it was a 4:3 TV, 16:9 ratio, and then 4:3 box floated in the 16:9.
Yep. I used to use the wide button on the remote to fix it. I would zoom it out just to watch Top Gear.
Now, I've definitely bored Maria, but it's her turn now. Maria, wake up.
No, I'm here. Actually, I'm listening.
Yeah.
I'm here with you guys.
Now then, Maria, I want you to tell us, because you're here specifically for SetApp, and we wanted to tell us about, because the SetApp teams come in, there's a whole pile of stuff for SetApp business, isn't there? And this is your chance to plug the hell out of SetApp, mate. Go for it.
Okay, so, I've been with SetApp since the very beginning, so since then, day one, and mostly all of the time I've been involved into bringing your apps to the platform. SetApp has been around like for 4 years, including the beta stage, because we had an official release 3.5 years ago. And, you know, when we only started, and our CEO had this idea, CEO of MacPaw, because, for the listeners who don't know, the SetApp is a product of MacPaw, and MacPaw is a Mac app development company that is famous probably for Clean My Mac, which is one of our most famous apps. And when we started SetApp, our CEO had this idea, and we thought that this is so great, but how are we gonna, you know, get these developers to join SetApp? And we had a specific date for the launch, everything ready, and we had to collect this first collection of apps. And at that point, like, nobody, I think, on the team except of our CEO actually believed that we can get those apps on board. And I remember reaching out to the first developers and thought, like, this is not going to work. And we're so afraid that we're not going to get at least 10 apps. But by the release, we got 60 apps. And so we kept on growing and growing and growing. I'm going to make a stop here, because I'm not sure how well some of you listeners are familiar with SetApp, because I'm talking about some SetApp, but probably some of the guys don't know what it is. So I think the easiest way for me to explain is to say that SetApp is a Netflix, but for Mac apps. I mean, this is kind of cliche that our users gave to us, but yeah, hello?
Yeah, that works. That's a good analogy, yeah.
Yeah. So the idea is the same. It's all-you-can-eat model. User pays a flat monthly or annual fee and get access to all of the applications that are currently available on the platform. You can say that it's a subscription type of a Mac app store. Well, this is true and this is wrong at the same time, because yes, it's a marketplace, it's an app store. Yes, it's subscription, but here there are many differences with Setapp and Mac App Store. And I think that the major, the main difference is that Setapp offers a curated collection of apps. So we do not invite to join any apps. For us, the quality of the application, the reputation of the developer is very important. Yeah. So this is the first point. The second point is that we want Setapp to be this one place where users can turn to solve any kind of a problem they have or any type of a task they are dealing with when using their Mac, so they can find the right software right on Setapp. When we've started, we started thinking what type of apps we're going to invite. We figure out that there are a certain types of problems, a certain type of tasks that a user's facing, and we group those tasks. We came up with around 50 problems, and we thought that we're going to have an app for every problem. This is how we actually started collecting those apps. And apart from a curated collection, there are more benefits. Well, another one is updates. I think that many of you know that from time to time, developers release a paid upgrade to their application. It's absolutely okay. This is necessary because developers have to make their living, and they invest their time, money into making their products better, and thus they have to monetize this. But on Setapp users, on Setapp, all those updates are already included in the subscription. So for example, last year when we released a new Clean Mac X, the update should be purchased, but for Setapp user, it was already included. And the last, but definitely not least, is the point that it's a platform that is free of ads, of in-app purchases and things like that. So basically, when user subscribes to Setapp, all the apps that are on the platform, they are of, let's say, in their premium versions. Like, you won't find any freemium software or free software that would require something to unlock the premium functionality. It's all there. Yeah, so this is Setapp. Right now we have 190 applications, and we're adding more and more each month. We tend to add 3 to 4 new apps every month. And some, like, users are asking us, like, why? App Store has thousands, hundreds of thousands of apps.
But you can't find them.
Yes, exactly. This is one of the points. Sometimes you're looking for the app, but there are so many. Like, for example, I need PDF editing app, and I can keep on searching and searching. On Setapp, we have only one PDF pen, which is a great tool. I love it. So basically, we're trying to add those apps steadily because we're trying to correlate the number of new paying users with the number of applications on the platform. One of our main goals is to support developers, because developers are also our clients, and we want their revenues to grow. Thus, we are correlating the number of new paying users on the platform with the new apps that we're adding. And of course, making sure that these are the curated apps, not just any app.
So tell us about Setapp for Teams then. What's that concept? How's that going to work?
Yeah, so since the very beginning, Setapp has been a B2C product. It has stayed a B2C product for 3 years. And the idea of having a product for business came out naturally, because we started receiving requests from users that were saying, hey, I would like to bring Setapp to my team. I want it to be used at my workplace. I want to show it to my boss, etc. And we figured out that many individual subscribers were actually using the product at their work. At that time, we had a family plan, which kind of allowed sharing access to Setapp with the people, but it was a limited amount of people, I think 4 users, and it wasn't quite good fit for a business. So we started thinking about making a B2B product. We've launched a beta version of B2B in November 2019, and we are planning to go out with the full official release in Q4 of this year. But as for now, we have over 200 companies that are actually using a B2B product. So right now, the main difference lies on the user management side. Well, first of all, in Setapp for Teams, the owners of the account or the IT admins in the company can easily invite people give them license or take the licenses from them. They can allow or restrict access to certain apps, because again, SetApp has almost 200 applications, and sometimes not all of the apps might be allowed to be used at the workplace. And SetApp is also integrated with Jamf. It's an MDM, so basically it's a platform that allows deploying software to a numerous Macs very easily. And speaking of SetApp for Teams, it solves many problems for the businesses, especially for IT guys, IT managers, Mac admins in the companies that have trouble with purchasing software, keeping track of those license keys, keeping track of the subscription, yeah. Making sure that if they expired, they are renewed, keeping track of updates and upgrades of software. So SetApp does this job for them. Basically, SetApp is installed and then everything just happens automatically, and SetApp for Teams allows easily to manage the access to SetApp itself and to the apps inside of the SetApp for different group of users in the company. Another point is time saving, because any user can find the app that they need right away. And as I referred to SetApp earlier, like, it's a collection of utilities with productivity tools, but we also have many tools actually to get the job done. We have a professional tools for developers, for designers, for product managers, project managers, salespeople. So basically those are not only utilities that can be used by everybody, right? Not only productivity tools that can be used by everybody, but also a tools that helps you to make the job done depending on what's your profession. Of course, it's also money saving because, 200 apps, nobody in the world would use 200 apps. I mean, this is impossible. I mean, you can try, but you're never going to use all of them. So we know that on average, an average setup user would use around 6 apps every right. month. But we crunch some numbers and figure out that even if a user launches or regularly uses at least 4 apps from SetApp, it would cost them less, and of course cost the company less to subscribe to SetApp and use those apps inside of SetApp than purchasing the licenses for those apps or subscribing to those apps separately.
When you take a company on, Maria, do you give them an exclusivity in a category, or is it open to everyone? There's a question from Magic Man in the chat room. He said, if you find an app that's better than another one that does the same thing, would you then swap those over in SetApp, or do you sign an exclusive deal? But I don't think you have an exclusivity where, you know, a web authoring app doesn't block out every other web authoring app, does it? Or a sound source app doesn't drop out every other. So, you know, there's no exclusivity in the category, if you like.
Well, there is no exclusivity. Like, normally, ideally, we were trying to get at least one app for one task.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens, it happened, for example, with the case of mind mapping apps. Like, SetApp has 3 mind mapping apps. It has MindNode, it has XMind, I can't recall the name of another one. iThoughts X. So, but only due to the fact those 3 are really good apps. I mean, they're equally good, but some users prefer MindNode, some users prefer XMind. But we don't want to crowd setups with too many apps per category. So having 3 of mind mapping tools is kind of exception, but normally we would get 1 or 2 for a category.
See, this is one of those moments, right, where everything that I say always happens. So you're sitting there going, oh, we've got iThoughts 10, and you're like, I just bought that. I bought that. I didn't know it was in. And that's the standard. The thing is, it's like, before you go to Google, go to SetApp and search, because number of times, man, we got so many listeners who write in and stuff, and they go, oh, I didn't realize it was on SetApp.
I think I've only done it once, maybe twice, but yeah, it definitely happens.
Oh yeah, we've had quite a few people that have picked something on the show, and then someone has pointed out, you know, that's in SetApp, right? And they're like, no, I didn't know that.
we get that all the
SetApp
time.
SetApp needs a thing that that somehow ties in to like the App Store app search. So when someone is on the Mac App Store and they search for an app, if it's available on SetApp, you get a little notification.
Oh, that would be cool. That would kill the App Store.
I'm sure there's no problem with you developing that.
I think Apple guys wouldn't appreciate that.
Yep, you think?
Yeah, just get. Yeah,
wouldn't that be awesome?
On the wording submission, they just put "proud to be part of SetApp" on it. That's the last line.
Oh, okay. Here's another idea. MacPaw can develop an app called "Where to Find That App" or something like that, and you just use it as a general app search tool, and it tells you where you can find an app on the Mac App Store from the developer and through SetApp. So you always know all your options for finding apps.
Jeff, I can name that app in three clicks.
Yeah.
Interesting. That might be an idea for a startup.
No. I've got to say, Marie, your app of the week emails are very useful because nearly always it's an app that I'm like, oh, that'd be really cool. And I've used a few of them as my cool things on the show. So one more thing we're going to do to you when we get back to the end after the sponsors reads, we're going to ask you to recommend your favorite app at the moment on SetApp. It's not the best app. It's your favorite, personal favorite. Okay. So give us a recommendation. Well,
and there's definitely been shows where everybody's pick of the week is out of SetApp. And I mean, that has happened on shows where there's five people like today. And it used to be a thing between Adam and Jeff and I. Okay, I got another pick from SetApp. And it would just, that would be like a thing. And Jeff is still like that. Once a week, he has another SetApp app to pick.
Yeah,
Jeff's go-to picks when he forgot to pick something.
My pick today, my cool thing today is a SetApp app. So. And I didn't do it because Marie was coming. I just did it because it is my favorite. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by some great supporters of the network. First one is TSO Host. They give us all the bandwidth that we subscribe to when that we use when we go out on iTunes and all the other platforms. And also they give us hard drives that are massive on cloud and all of the shows are up there. You know, Righty Boy does his fantastic history video of BTN for 12 years worth of podcasting. And he just goes back to the servers and all the shows are there. So it's dead easy for him to find what he wants from the shows. You can get the very first video shows that we ever did, and some of the audio shows are back there as well, where it's just only audio. Get yourself on there and enjoy britishtechnetwork.com/anything and just have a crawl back through them all. We wouldn't do it without TSO Host. You've got to support them. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to buy their product, because actually what they want from us is brand recognition. So they really, really, really want the BTN subscribers to go out there on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. Simple as that. That's all you've got to do, and they're over the moon with it. If you want to buy stuff, then you can, because they're very great. They're really great and reliable. We've got quite a few listeners have moved over in the last couple of weeks, and they're very satisfied, and they said that support was absolutely excellent. If you use the offer code BTN20 when you check out from them, all your hosting services 20% off straight away. So you get a kickback as well for being a BTN listener, so make sure you use it. And the other people that we spend a lot of time talking about and supporting, if you're wondering where Callum is this week, he's taking a well-earned break. He's having a day off from the humdrum of being at IMN Max. He's back in on Monday, though. And they do fantastic stuff. If you've got an Apple device, then anything with an Apple logo on, they'll repair it. An iPod, iPad, iMac, Mac Pro, my graphics card. We had a conversation with Joe and Callum this week. My graphics chip, I think, is going on my Mac Pro. But I won't be going back to Apple. I'll be going back to them because it's over 5 years old. And that's the best thing of all, is if you've got a legacy device that Apple aren't willing to touch, then IMN Max definitely will. And the chances are they'll be able to solve it. And they do stuff right down to I've seen the microscope that they look down through, and they'll solder logic boards and graphics boards and stuff like that. So you won't not necessarily get a brand new component. They were telling me this week that they had a guy that came in. Apple had said that he needed a new logic board and a new backlight, and they fixed it for a quarter of the price. So, and it works just fine, nonetheless. The other thing that they do is data recovery. And this week, my landlord, Sam that works for him, turned up. He said, "Ewan, you know this little drive that I keep using?" "Yeah, yeah." "Well, I can't get it to mount. I wondered if you could help." "Yeah, mate. Where's your backup?" "Well, that's it. That's my backup drive." No. So this is the backup. So why don't you just buy a new drive and then use your originals to put onto the drive?" "What do you mean originals?" "Well, because... So this is your backup drive. So where's the originals for the backup?" And he went, "No, that's the only one." "Okay, it's not a backup, dude. That's an original." Bad luck. And it wouldn't mount up. I'm going to take this on Monday over to IMN Max and they're going to do their damnedest to get Sam's data back because they do data recovery. So, again, give them a shout out. And I've had a chat with Joe just briefly now on the Slack room, and I said, have you got a machine of the week? And he's picked a very topical one. He's got an A1398 CTO 7, i7, 16 gig of RAM, 512 of SSD, more than the bang that you've got in your brand new Apple iMac, and it's cheaper too. It's 1,200 quid to you. Now, if you're a BTN listener and you go and you mention BTN when you buy it, you'll get 5% off that price. So it's even cheaper than £1,200. So please support IMIN Max if you possibly can, because they're looking at the bus. It's time for the cool thing. And Doc, you're going to start us off.
Okay. This is going to be a little hard, but let me get it out here. I didn't use it today because I didn't want to make it hard for everyone. But this is my cool thing. Dun, dun, dun. This is the UN. How come I can't get the stream to work properly? It's Lifesaver. This is the Blackmagic A10 Mini Pro. HDMI switcher on the fly. It can bring up the quality of your show above and beyond the Mac show on BTN.
It's not doing anything when you push those buttons, right?
Yeah, because I didn't connect it for this because I wouldn't be able to show it.
Oh,
to you.
Sorry.
But yes, basically what you do is you have four HDMI inputs right there in the back. You have a program out and you can send that to your monitor so that you can see. And then you can send the out because it's digital, can go out either via the USB-C connector back to your computer and out from your streaming encoder of choice, or you can directly encode to about five or six locations straight out of the RJ45 connector back there. It has two microphone inputs, but this thing is great for upstream keying, downstream keying, for people that don't know what that means, you know, your green screen action, your overlays, your picture in pictures. You can do several picture in pictures. You can set up all your scenes. And if you have a handy little confidence monitor, which mine's is down here bolted up, so I'm not going to disconnect it, I can see what I'm going to send out before I send it out on the confidence monitor, then press the button and it becomes live on the stream. So for, you know, people out there that are being forced to do things that they used to do in person at home and you want to do it simply without buying a handful of cam links, which is what I normally use. I have three separate cam links connected that allows me to switch cameras, you know, so I can show you what's going on my desk or show you my Skype guest when there's someone called in and not me calling you. I normally have to do this the hard way, but now with the ATM Mini, you do just with a couple of presses of a button. And it's very good. Even this, Patrice, they stuck it at 1080p, even though they sell 8K cameras. Why? Because for most streaming, going 4K is just useless, even though I do it. Because I'm like, why not? It's, the ATM Mini Pro is a killer device. And it really helps, especially if you're trying to stream from a slower equipment. They do have a smaller version for $300. Still has the same four inputs, but it does, you know, some other stuff differently. But if you have an older device, rather, and you are stuck having to do your calls and your streams and you want to be able to, say, have your presentation and a camera and another thing and show a device like your iPhone or iPad because it's part of your training, the A10 Mini and the A10 Mini Pro are probably the better way to do it, because all of the encoding and switching brain power goes into that box. And then so your computer doesn't have to do it unless you just ordered a 5700 XT fully loaded 27-inch iMac.
Woo. What was the price of that, Doc, again?
$300, $295. $300 for the smaller version and $500 for the larger version.
Excellent.
And again, the primary difference, and there's actually a third version now, which is the ISO version. And again, the primary differences have to do with some of the audio control and some of the built-in encoder, like on-the-fly encoder type stuff. So again, it's fantastic. Our show definitely could use one.
Thanks, man. Love you too. But then it'd be slick, and then we wouldn't get letters of complaint, so I don't see the point. Jeffrey, what's your cool thing, man?
Well, my cool thing is an app called Wi-Fi Explorer, And the reason I'm choosing Wi-Fi Explorer is because, well, first, it's an absolutely awesome app. But my my pick a couple weeks ago was the Wyze Outdoor Cam. And they finally started shipping. Mine arrived. And so I set it up. And it comes with this bridge, okay? So this bridge, it connects to your Ethernet network and then does a wireless connection to the camera. And Wyze was kind of vague about what this wireless connection is. I assume they were doing like their own Wi-Fi thing. So once I had everything connected, I just fired up Wi-Fi Explorer. And sure enough, this little Wyze bridge showed up as a 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi network. And I was able to see that it's a secure network. So reduces the risk of someone hacking into my network through this device. So with Wi-Fi Explorer, I was able to quickly find this device and see that it's secure, find out what channel it's on. So I can make sure that I don't have to worry about interference from other devices that might be on the same or similar channels. And bonus, Wi-Fi Explorer is also available on SetApp.
Ah!
Yes, saw that.
Very good, mate. Love that. Like what you did there. Saw what you did. Patrice, what have you got for us?
My cool thing is a new Apple TV Plus show from yours truly, Oprah.
Is Oprah available on setup?
let's ask
you get an application.
Oh, mate, no. Look at this. You get an application. You get an application. this content is no longer available.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
Oh.
Got it?
It should be.
They pulled Oprah already?
No, it's showing up for me. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe you pay for it.
It is a really, really good show. I mean, it's Oprah at her best, like interviewing people, but it's like, it was really like the first two episodes were about Black Lives Matter, and they had, and now I'm blanking on his name, like he's a NFL player of some sort, Emmanuel Eco, I think. And they were talking about Black Lives Matter, and they had people calling in, like, I mean, they had obviously sent in the questions before. And asking their questions and having even like a little bit of a discussion, and everything was like socially distanced. So they had basically, it looked like two mirrored sets, like with Oprah and with the guests, and like little, actually it looked like pro displays for the guests. But it was a really, really, really good show. Good questions, good discussions. So it's app. Yeah. And it's, if you have Apple TV Plus already, it's free. So.
Excellent, mate.
If not, it's $4.99. Too bad. So not too bad. There's a new episode. Literally came out like an hour ago. So I haven't watched that one yet.
Okay, cool. Thanks, mate. Now, Alistair doesn't have set up, so I'm guessing your pick is not set up. But go ahead, mate.
No. I've just put a link in there. It's a tiny little menu utility. Nothing madly special about it other than the fact that it was written by an ex-colleague. We used to share an office.
Oh, right, that's cool.
And we worked at Dennis Publishing on Mac magazines back in the day as well. He just wrote himself, because he does other stuff, you know, other programming stuff. He just wrote himself a little utility just so he could quickly update his GitHub and launch some, terminal shell scripts very quickly. And he just thought, I'll make it public. Anyway, he's just updated it this afternoon. Version 1.3. So if you would like to give it a go, it's called menu, which is the word menu but without the e, you know how it works. Me personally, I would have renamed it to add 14 more u's, but there you go. And it just does what it does. You can see what it does, and
it's free,
if
I guess.
You're the type. Oh yeah, of course it's free.
Based on the fact there's
the type,
based on the fact,
yeah,
there's a link
the type
to the
of
source
person
code.
Who has kind of a bunch of shell scripts that you do run from time to time for various reasons, certainly if you're in system support and programming, it's just a handy little thing, just sits at the top and just, I'll run that one again, bang, done.
Excellent, mate. Good pick, like that. Super. And Maria, what's your favorite setup app?
My favorite setup app, well, there is a cool utility called Vidrio, I discovered it in Product Hunt, I think, on March and April. So basically what it does, it makes your screen transparent, kind of like a holographic effect. You can adjust the capacity. So when you're on a Zoom call or any kind of webinar, you're doing a presentation, whatever, and you're sharing your screen, you do slides or you do a demo. So basically you're adjusting the opacity and your cam is on. So the viewer can see both yourself kind of like behind the glass and actually the thing that you're showing, whether the slides or, you know, whatever you're doing. It's very cool, especially right now during the pandemic times when most of the meetings are happening online and when you have to show something, you just, really, you know, cool. So you can look it up on setup. It's called Vidrio, or directly from the developer, just Google Vidrio app for Mac.
Oh my God. I do this like every single day in my streams and I never thought of this. And now that I see it, I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, Maria, you're officially re-invited.
Well, I just got to install.
Yo, same here. I don't even need to see the rest. But, you know, what this Vidrio has that I really enjoy is I like the fact that they have a video as one of their first screens. I was always said that if they had a Don McAllister type intro video for all the apps and set app, I think I might have them all installed. Because some of them, I wish they had a little bit better explainer, but I like the fact that these guys have a video and it's so simple.
This Maria, do you know who Don McAllister is?
No.
Well, you totally should. You need to Google Don McAllister and you need to get him. He runs screencasts and he does... so he basically, people come out with an application and he shows them how to use it in Mac. But he should totally do some intro videos for you. That would really work. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. Really calming. Thank you. Really calming voice, even though he's from Liverpool.
Calm down.
I won't do my Don impression again. I got a lot of crap for it.
My cool thing is set up. This is where I did one of those things where I listened to my own experience. I thought, God, I've got a PDF here. It's way too big. It's a leaflet that I've got for my camera system. And it's 55.6 megabytes. What am I going to do? So I started trying to do screen capture on it and then put that into a PDF and drag both in. And it kept putting a bloody board around the outside of it. I'm like, why the hell's it doing that? Because the basic picture hasn't got a board around it. And then I thought, I wonder if Setup has got something for shrinking PDFs. So I just put in shrinking PDFs and I got PDF Squeezer as a return. It's free with Setup, of course. I don't know how much it costs if you don't, because I don't care. But it is bloody good. The process for getting it down to a decent size with steel, while still maintaining the quality, was excellent. And I took a 55 megabyte PDF with loads of pictures in it, and I took it down to 2.1 meg. So it's perfect for emailing around, and it looks pucker. It's absolutely right. There's no white bloody board around it and that kind of stuff. PDF Squeezer is worth every penny of the freeness that I paid for it. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Setup. Setup rocks. And if you're a Mac user, you've got to get screencasts online, otherwise you're a numpty. And you've also got to download Setup, otherwise you're a numpty. Simple as that. Sorry, I just realised what I just said. Sorry. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
Sorry, I'm cracking out over my transparent screen right now. Anyway, you can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK. And right now, everything primarily on YouTube, because I am trying to teach folks how to use live stream to help businesses during these trying times.
Magic Man's put, I need an OCR app. Is there one on Setup? have a think, Maria. Jeffrey, where can we get a hold of you?
I'm easy to find, Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram. As many people have pointed out, I am apparently the podcast whore because I am on all of them.
That's right.
And but coming very soon,
Ace host of this show.
Yeah, I did host, and not much burned down.
Not much.
But yeah, my new podcast.
Nothing burned down because you couldn't get it started.
Yeah, well, you know, some days are like
I just love the fact now that I'm going to get deflected emails where it's like, you know, you're an idiot ranking, you can't make anything work. And it's just like, see, it's hard. It's hard getting this thing working.
You know, if I had taken the time to set up and test everything ahead of time, it probably would have made a difference. But we're not that kind of show.
Really, we are. Absolutely.
We just dive in.
Yeah, there's no editing here. Patrice, where can everyone get you?
Well, you can find everything I am doing on thepatrice.com, and you can also find me on my awesome podcast, The Foodie Flashback, where I interview awesome people like, well, almost everybody on this panel about food and food-related memories and, like, all the stories that, like, are connected to that.
Brilliant. Cool. I've been on that. It's good. Really enjoyed it. And Mr. Dabbs, where would you be?
I'm hanging out with all the racists and nut jobs on Twitter at Ali Dabs.
Yes, mate. It's not good on Twitter at the minute. It's just... I don't enjoy Twitter, I have to say, anymore. It was better. I want it to go back. We need a social media platform that's for geeks only on setup included. Have a think, yeah? Right.
We tried that. I forgot what it was called now.
I've placed an order.
AtNet? Was it called AtNet? We tried that. Wasn't it called AtNet?
No,
app.net. App.net, that was it, yeah.
Yeah.
Maria, now we've got a question here. Magic Man has already whipped his credit card out and he signed up during the show.
Yeah.
Woo!
Advertising works. Yeah. And he said, I need an OCR app. Is there one on set up?
Prismo.
OCR app?
An OCR app.
Prismo
and PDF.
Yes.
Prismo and PDF pin. There you go, Magic Man. Money well spent, mate. Maria, where can we get hold of you?
My Twitter is Maria4WH.
Okay. And SetApp is available at setapp.com. And if they've got any questions, they can send you an email there, I guess, or something like that, or get support there. Don't give your email address, absolutely, for Christ's sake.
the SetApp group in Facebook is pretty good, too. Mm-hmm. Because it's, if you just talk to people about apps and talk a lot of smack about what's good, what's bad, what's cool, what's happening, what's been updated. If you didn't get the email that says you should get this before you buy it, Ewan, not a Luddite and you were on the SetApp Facebook group, you would have known that it was already in.
Sorry. I'm not on that group. So,
actually in that group, I mean, like, users can talk to our developers because developers of the apps are normally also in that group. So basically, if you have any question in regards to the application, something's not working, you want to just get in touch with the developer, you can just write a post and probably the developer will get into communication with you.
Brilliant.
See.
Maria, thank you so much for coming, mate. You are more than welcome back anytime that you like, so just tell us when you want to come on.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
No, definitely. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well. We're on all the socials as well, and you get BritishTechNetwork.com to listen to the shows. Righty Boy will be posting the history of BTN video up in the feeds this week, and it's well worth a watch. It is good fun, and it is shockingly bad how much I've aged in 12 years. Jesus. Have a great weekend and enjoy the weather that's coming, and we'll see you next week as normal. Big Show should be back on Thursday, but it just depends on events, as it always does. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.